there are thousands of alien, UFO, and extraterrestrial craft that are focused and concentrated on planet Earth and the human species. They are here to not only observe, but also prepare and help humans to make it through some sort of upcoming shift that not only has profound ramifications for the future of the human species and planet Earth, but also all the adjoining energy and star systems to our solar system. This is a big event. It is what Tom Campbell calls the big show and what Robert Monroe famously called the gathering. In fact, today we're going to do another book report and we are going to go into Far Journeys, into the chapter called The Gathering, and hear from Robert Monroe himself about what these alien ships are, why they're here, and what this big event is. This is one of the most important and profound chapters of any book ever written. And a lot of this is going to make you feel, because it made me feel, like what they're talking about is coming pretty soon. So let's dive in. Hello, friends, and welcome to another exciting episode of Conscious Observers. Today, we're going to do another book report. We're going to go back into Far Journeys. We did the Loosh chapter a few weeks ago, and people love that. And my favorite chapter, probably, arguably, my favorite, there's so many, it's hard to choose. But one of my favorite chapters of any of his books is The Gathering, which is at the end of Far Journeys. Far Journeys was his, I would say, least popular book, only because the first one was so amazing, Journeys Out of the Body, and then the last one, Ultimate Journeys, was so amazing that this one kind of got forgotten about a little bit. And it's a small chapter at the end of the book. It's only like 10 pages, the entire chapter, and I'm only going to read about four of these pages. And this information is so wild because it's one of the only times in all of Robert Monroe's journeys that he talks about UFOs or any sort of a craft. Usually when he's in the out-of-body world and he's in the non-physical part of our reality and part of the universe, the species, the intelligences, the consciousnesses, the beings, entities, whatever you want to call them, that he encounters and talks to, which there's a lot. You get the impression it's a cosmic zoo out there and there's all sorts of life. But they're usually in the non-physical. What makes this so extraordinary is there's actually a gathering of spaceships. Some of them are non-physical, but a lot of them are physical around Earth. And it's one of the only times, there's only two times in his three books where he talks about what we would call a UFO. And I'll do another book report on the first one, which has to do with a comedian and a flying saucer. That's not a punchline for a joke. That's actually the setup to the experience. But in this one, we want to talk about The Gathering, because The Gathering is just wild. So I'm just going to read you like I did last time. We're going to dive right in, and I'm just going to read word for word, and then I'll stop along the way to explain some stuff, because his stuff is incredibly dense. You have to read it so many times. You kind of have to read between the lines, and the more you read it, the more you pick up on. I mean, the first time I read this, I was blown away. The second time, I was like, holy cow. The third time, it was almost like it was the first time I read it. It was like there's so much stuff that I didn't even, you know, pick up on the first couple times, where I was like, whoa, how did I miss this? And, you know, the answer is it's incredibly dense, and you know, it's something you have to read multiple times. So I'm going to do the hard work for you guys. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to explain it all to you. So this is Far Journeys. And before I dive in, remember I told you about Tom Campbell. So I'll put in my Patreon a link to the video. So they had this thing called the Explorer Series at the Monroe Institute, where they took the elite level explorers, the people that Robert had been training the most. They're like the Jedis. And they did a special, you know, kind of elite level astral travel where they had these what are called inspects, these intelligent species that were helping them. They're basically like guides out there in the astral world. And they were able to meet with them, one they called Thor, one they called Miranon. They had different names. And they gave them all sorts of inside information. And it was wild. And one of those explorer tapes is Tom Campbell. And Tom Campbell, if y'all know him, he's incredibly analytical, sober-minded, rational. He does not overinflate things, exaggerate things, or anything. And he had an amazing tape where he went to what, you know, Robert Monroe calls the gathering, but Tom Campbell on a completely separate. So, you know, each of these gentlemen went to basically the same event, just two different times in life, two different experiences, and they describe basically the same thing. that's what makes it even more amazing. This isn't just one person's opinion. Like, it's like an objective thing that two different people went to and saw basically the same thing. Tom Campbell called it the Big Show and said that all these craft were here to observe and to help with the Big Show. He said he likened it to people filling in theater seats before a performance. And these ships were kind of coming from all over to observe and to help. And he got the impression that most of them were helpful and were here because they wanted to see humanity survive and thrive and make it through and transcend. But some of them weren't. You know, he definitely got that impression. He said he didn't feel like there was necessarily like a federation, like a galactic federation of sorts, that it was different groups, and some were just completely independent and some were part of a group, but there wasn't one overarching group. It was just, it was a lot. He said that we're basically gathering, we're garnering the attention of our entire, you know, everything that's adjoining to us, the different star systems that are in the physical plane and the different dimensions that are in the non-physical plane. Anything that's adjoined to us is very interested in Earth right now. And I think we see that. I think we see that with all the activity in the, with the phenomenon. But this is just going to show all that from a different point of view. So Tom Campbell did a audio recording while he was in, you know, I think he was in Focus 10. And I'll put that on my Patreon. But for now, we're going to do the Robert Monroe version. But it's really cool to hear both guys kind of describe the same thing. So let's dive right in. This is chapter 16 of Far Journeys. It's called The Gathering. Days, weeks, and months pass by rapidly without any unusual OOB activity. OOB means out of body. Robert Monroe prolifically went out of his body. I mean, to the point where at the beginning he couldn't control it. It was just spontaneous. And then he created the whole Monroe Institute to figure out what was happening and how to harness it and control it. So with him saying days, weeks, and months passed by rapidly without any unusual OOB activity, that's kind of significant. That's him saying it's been kind of quiet in his life because he spent a lot of time out of body. So let's continue. I had grown away from the desire to investigate the local events that used to attract me so deeply. Occasionally, in the familiar early morning hours, I would awaken out of habit and detach from the physical. I would wait for a strong ident inspec signal. Inspec mirror means intelligent species. So anytime he says inspec, it's talking about these non-physical celestial guides, these kind of angelic beings out there in the world, or the astral world. But there was none. After a few moments, I would re-enter the physical and go to sleep. Essentially, what he's saying is in the morning, just for fun, because he has this ability, he would leave his body, go in an out-of-body state, and he would go out into the astral, and he would hope for these signals, because the inspects would send him signals, and then he would connect with them and then go, and they would take him on adventures or tell him information. So he'd go out of body, and he would look for the signals, and there wasn't any. So basically just saying it was really quiet in his life at this time. During this interim, I had no sense of isolation or deprivation whatsoever. The absence of the signal in no way inferred to me that I was being ignored or abandoned. Instead, there was a complete sense of security, a full-fledged desire to continue and broaden my participation in physical life around me, a freedom to express my self-maligned curiosity rather than anxiety as to do daily and upcoming patterns. I simply went back to the grazing principle. Knowing what I found today would lead me to tomorrow, whatever tomorrow was. The signal would come when it was appropriate. And it did. One morning, I began to get a feeling of needing to do something I had forgotten. At first, I wasn't sure, but what it was indeed something I had failed to do in my physical activity. However, around 11 that morning, I became exceedingly drowsy, so much so that I went into the bedroom to lie down for a short nap. I wasn't tired, but I did need to sleep. Okay, what's so cool about this is I remember listening to a part of the telepathy tapes where one of the moms was talking about how one day one of the other kids was in trouble or something. And one of the moms, in the middle of the day, for no reason, just got insanely tired, very drowsy. And she was just like, I have to go lay down. And she said her son, if I remember right, her son, who was one of the nonverbal autistics, got really tired and went and laid down too. And if I remember right, and this is kind of sad, but I think it was when one of the other nonverbals actually had passed away. And what was happening is all the other people got like immediately drowsy and tired and had to go to sleep. And they had to go to sleep because then they connected in the non-physical, because this is how they connect. And one of the best ways to do that is when you're asleep in your dreams. So I just remember that them talking about it was middle of the day and there was no reason, but they got so drowsy and so tired they had to immediately go take a nap. And this is what Robert Monroe is talking about here, is that it's the middle of the day, you know, for some reason he's just like, oh, I don't know why, but I'm going to go to sleep. And this is when, like, the non-physical side is contacting you and saying, hey, we need to do something now. There's some sort of urgency or some message we need to get through or something, but you need to be in, like, a sleep state so that we can connect. Because when we're awake, we don't, that signal is so fuzzy. We don't have a clear connection when we're conscious. So I just thought that was interesting. Okay. I wasn't tired, but I did need to sleep. Within seconds after stretching out on the bed, I dropped into deep relaxation. At that point, I could perceive it clearly. The InSpec signal was there, cleanly defined and strong. I succeeded in staying calm enough to develop the OOB pattern, roll out and into the second. That's the second body. He always talks about that. Sliding out of the second was automatic, and I reached and stretched, homing in on the familiar ident. So he talks about when he leaves body, he has this physical body, and then he figured out, after doing this so many times and analyzing it, that outside of his physical body, there's a second body. He calls it the second body. So when he first started having out-of-body experiences, he would come out of his body, but he's in a second body. And it's sort of like in an orbit. He describes the second body being in orbit to your physical body. It can't go too far. That's why sometimes you'll have an out-of-body experience, and you can't really leave, like, your room or your house. You're sort of tethered to your body. You're out of your body, you know, you're in your energy body, but you can't go too far. There's a limit. And then you have to learn how to leave that second body. So that's what he's talking about here. The change was instantaneous. No sense of movement whatsoever. The bright glowing figure was in front of me. So at this point, he's out of his body. He's in the astral. He got his ident signal. So then he basically double clicks on ident signal. And then he's face-to-face with the ident, who I don't know who the ident is in this case, but he has like a kind of a team, a group of, he calls it the I there. It's his sort of soul cluster. And in there, there's these different idents, which are these different identities, these different guides, different inspects, these intelligent species, different parts of his higher self, future versions of himself, past versions of himself, his higher self collective sometimes, just forms as one and creates an ident. So, in any case, he has these different astral figures and helpers and guides. The bright glowing figure was in front of me. I was aware of the radiation, but it was quite comfortable. When he says radiation, he's talking about light. They always put off this intense light, and it's a form of radiation. So he was saying even though it was very intense radiation, he was comfortable. So, the being says, very proficient, Ashanine. Ashanine is Robert Monroe's greater name. It's not, so like, in this lifetime, he's Robert Monroe, but as a soul, they know him as Ashanine. So it's like his soul name. Very proficient, Ashanine. And he says, and progress too? They say, there have been many changes. We believe you are ready for the next, how do you call it, step? Robert says, it was not a percept, but I wondered idly if that was a polite way to inform me I would no longer return to the physical. Well, I could go add some music to Charlie Sunsets, or... At this point, Robert's thinking, are they telling me I'm dead? So many times when he went in the astral, he didn't want to go back, which is so wild because he had kids, he had a great business, he had an amazing wife that he loved very much, but when you separate from the physical and you're out there in the astral and you're connecting with these other beings that you connect with at like, the soul level, pretty quickly you forget about your physical life. You forget. You're not out there like the whole time saying, oh, I need to get back. People are worried about me, or I can't wait to get back and see my friends or whatever. You kind of, the physical world just sort of dissolves away. So, he says, well, I could go add some music to Charlie Sunsets, or they interrupt him. That is not the step we have planned. You will know when your physical body release is to take place. We will not need to inform you, nor do we plan or participate in such release unless you request it. You have much to complete prior to such change. Robert says, I received that information with mixed emotions. One great part of me yearning to get on with it, the other reaching back to physical earth and the deep, poignant emotions I was sharing there. I remembered many years ago, during a strong pressure point, when the option to stay or complete release from the physical was available to me, and I agreed to take the physical as long as it was operational. whatever the situation, because I wanted to find out what happened tomorrow. Curiosity. So basically saying, a long time ago, he was presented with a opportunity to leave the physical, and he decided to, it's kind of like a fork in the road, and he decided to stay. We have explained to you that it is one of your assets. Completion of this next step will provide you with many answers. Robert. There was very much a missing element in the pattern, and nothing in this world would prevent my curiosity from seeking the answer. They say, nor out of this world? You need no longer stay closed for the shift. Robert, I managed to stay calm, but expectant. Click. When it says click, that means that they have immediately changed their state of consciousness. This is when they click out of whatever phase they're in, and they click to where they're headed. We were on the far rim of the outermost ring, and this is where it gets wild, y'all. We were on the far rim of the outermost ring. I could recognize it from the very thin ambience of haze. The soft white forms were all around us. I could perceive my inspect friend was with me, but there was no glowing form. So when he says the outer ring, so he describes Earth almost like Saturn, how there's all these rings around it. We don't see them because they're energy rings. It's not something you visibly see, but you can see it when you're in out-of-body state. And that the rings are, it's so wild. There's so many different rings, but essentially each ring is a different, like, level, a different neighborhood of souls, essentially. Some that are like the first-timers waiting for a body to come in and be human. Many of the other ones are the people that are in their, it's what we call the spirit world, their in-between stage, the life between lives. And then there's like an outer ring of like the last-timers that are just here for their final sojourn before they return and graduate, that kind of stuff. So that's what he means by the ring. So, we were on the far rim of the outermost ring. I could recognize it from the very thin ambience of haze. The soft white forms were all around us. I could perceive my inspect friend was with me, but there was no glowing form. They say, there is no need to distract their attention. Robert, I reached for any percept of Bill, then of Lou. I couldn't find either. These are just different souls that he has met out there. They say, they have graduated, as you put it. Robert, that was to be expected, and I had a percept of their new address, as it were, but there was some factor involved that disturbed me. I don't know what he meant by this. There was some factor involved that disturbed me. He's talking about where his friends graduated to, so I don't know what would have disturbed him. Then he says, couldn't bring it out. Then I became aware of the intent, inward focus of the entire outermost ring, the inhabitants thereof. There was a strong radiation of expectancy, not concern, as if the star of the show was about to make an entrance. I followed the line of their focus. It was the physical planet Earth, indistinct and nebulous from this perspective. So, he's saying he's at the furthest ring, the outermost ring of Earth. And there's a bunch of beings there. This is the last timer's ring. Okay, this is the ring where the people are. We find out in the previous chapter, which I'm going to do a whole book report on, because the previous chapter to this one is when he goes into the future, past year 3000, and it is nuts. And they talk about there's this ring around Earth called the Dorm, and it's where all the souls live. And that in the future, you don't have out-of-body experiences, you have in-body experiences, that essentially they exist in an out-of-body state, pure non-physical state, but they have human avatars on Earth that are in these like pods under trees, and they go down to Earth, and they get into these human bodies and sort of, you know, take them on like joy rides, you know what I mean? Same way that we would like rent a jet ski and go have some fun, or rent a boat, or rent a car. They take these human bodies out, and they call them H+, for human plus in the future. And the really interesting thing is when new souls come in to the system in the future, before they let them go down to Earth and play in the human bodies, for practice and for training, they send them back in time. And they send them back in time to now. It's nuts. But that explains all of the souls that are here now. And why so many of them seem so alien. Because these are people, these are consciousnesses that have never been human before. So what they did is they created a new ring. Because all the rings around Earth at this time are part of the reincarnation process. It's the life between lives, the spirit world, where you do all the stuff that we've talked about in other videos of mine. The past life and the training for the next life and sleeper school and all that stuff. That's all the rings. Well, to make sure that those consciousnesses from the future that come back just for one life, just to get like a quick training session, right? Just to experience what it is to be human. To make sure they don't get stuck in the reincarnation loop or you know, influenced by any of the other souls, they created a new ring and made it this outermost ring, and they call it the one-timer's ring, and that's just for those people that are coming to be human for one time, and then they're going home. In this book, he doesn't know where home is, but they find out that home is the future. These are future consciousnesses coming back here just to play human for one lifetime and then go to the future. It's really nuts to think about. So when he's talking about this event that they're all watching, he's at that furthermost ring, which would be the dorm from the future. Or in this timeline, it's what they call the one-timers. So that's really interesting, because he's there and he's talking about how there's all of these, you know, these glowing beings there watching this event with him, and that all their attention is focused inward. So you got to think, who are these glowing beings? You know, these are consciousnesses. These are the consciousnesses from the future. It's all very mind-blowing. We get into more of this time travel stuff here in just a minute. So, he says, "Then I became aware of the intent inward focus of the entire outermost ring, the inhabitants thereof." So all those glowing beings that inhabit the outermost ring are all staring inward. What are they staring at? "There is a strong radiation of expectancy, not concern, but they're expecting something to happen, as if the star of the show was about to make an entrance. I followed the line of their focus, and it was the physical planet Earth, indistinct and nebulous from this perspective. They say, 'Let us take another viewpoint.' He says, 'By all means,' and the phrase does fit. Click. We are out in space somewhere between the Earth and the Moon, indeterminate distance, 50,000 miles plus from the surface of the Earth. It was very clear and detailed, not as it was before. I turned to look at the Moon and blinked. No more than 1,000 feet away, or so it seemed, was an immense, solid-appearing object, gray in color, long and slender, conical-shaped, with a hemispheric dome at the west end, at the widest end. The other end was somewhere in the distance, at least several miles. It appeared motionless, but I had the definite percept of M-band radiation from it." A spaceship. A physical spaceship? So M-band radiation is it's the thought. It's the chatter. So he talks about how there's always this M-band radiation field around Earth, and it's all of the human thoughts. Like, imagine all the thoughts you have in a day, which they say totals like 150,000 thoughts per day. Say you have that many thoughts a day. There's 8 billion of us, right? All that information, all that data, all that noise is in this ring around Earth, and it's called the M-band radiation ring. So when he says that this physical spaceship got a definite percept of M-band radiation from it, means that this is, like, you have to decode his language. What that means is that spaceship has not necessarily humans in it, because we're not the only beings that have M-band radiation, but that it has beings in it. It's not just some empty ship. And to put off a radiation, you know, field from it means it has, I would assume, a lot. So he's talking about a gigantic spaceship. We'll read the description again, because it's very interesting. He says, "No more than 1,000 feet away was an immense, solid-appearing object, gray in color, long and slender, conical-shaped, with a hemispheric dome at the widest end. The other end was somewhere in the distance, at least several miles. It appeared motionless, but I had a definite percept of M-band radiation from it." A spaceship, a physical spaceship. Then his inspect friends say, "In your terms, that is correct. It is not a human construct. There are many of such around the physical Earth at this point. Their origins are of your physical universe, but not necessarily of your time reference." One of my favorite lines from any of his books, because they say it so nonchalantly. Because to them, it's not a big deal. They hear it down on Earth, like, everyone's arguing. Are aliens real? Are there spaceships? You know, what are they doing? Where are they at? All these things, right? So they're just saying right here. He says, "A spaceship, a physical spaceship?" And they say, "In your terms, that is correct. It is not a human construct. That's what we'd call alien or UFO. There are many of such around the physical Earth at this point. Many of such around the physical Earth at this point. Their origins are of your physical universe, but not necessarily of your time reference." So by them saying not necessarily, that means some of them are. Some of them are just other craft from other parts of the universe in this timeline, we would assume. They made a point to say and to clarify that many of them aren't, which means that these are craft, ships, beings from what we would call our physical universe, but not from this same point in time. which is really, really interesting. They're coming either, I would assume, coming back in time to observe an event. That's how they know when the event's going to happen, because it already happened, right? But they're coming back to either observe it, or they're coming back to observe and manipulate. You know what I mean? Like, why would you just come to observe? It's almost as if they're coming to observe, because what Tom Campbell talked about is that a lot of them are playing an active role in preparing and in helping and assisting humans along, which means that, say they're coming from the future, they're revising the past because they know that this event is going to happen. They know when and where it's going to happen, but they also know that they can go back and, you know, play a role, change things, you know, edit the timeline. And it seems like that's what's happening. So, Robert continues, many could be 5 or 5,000. There was no point in trying to find out. But why around our Earth? Was it? Then they interrupt. They are focused on the planet Earth and humans, just as you observe the others, and for the same purpose. Shall we move on? The answer will come soon. My curiosity accepted gladly. Click. So real quick, they say they're focused on planet Earth and humans, just as you observe the others. So what I think they're referring to is that when Robert first connected with his InSpec friends and found out that he could kind of journey around the universe and dimensions and time, he was curious, like we would all be. And he had his InSpec friends take him on journeys and adventures. And they went, like, into the past, like a million years in the past, and he found very advanced humans. They went to other dimensions and went to other energy systems and had, you know, all sorts of experiences and journeys. I mean, these books are just full of just amazing adventures. It's so wild. So basically what they're telling him is that they are focused on planet Earth and humans, just as you observed the others, and for the same purpose. Well, if you remember what Robert's purpose was for doing that, it was pure curiosity. Pure curiosity, that's all it was. He didn't want to hurt or help anyone. He just wanted to observe. He was curious. You know, what are people like in the past? You know, what are energy systems like, or what are intelligences like in other energy systems? Like, I'm curious, and I want to go, and I just want to talk to him, say hi, you know, get to know him a little bit. So they're basically telling him, that's why these guys are here, you know? So that's comforting, a little weird. Click. My immediate percept of the Earth was a pinpoint of reflected light. Remember, every time it says click, we are now shifting. We're phase shifting our state of awareness and consciousness. So you're basically clicking into a different perspective. Click. My immediate percept of the Earth was a pinpoint of reflected light in the distance, no larger than a small star. So now obviously they have zoomed out, and now Earth is just a teeny tiny little pinpoint of light in the distance. From it came irregular waves of energy, multidimensional, pulsing, intermittently broken by occasional quick flares, a complex, unorganized pattern composed not of light or electromagnetic or gravitic structure, but of some other energy that I couldn't define. I was so completely fascinated by the display that I did not at first notice the background. As far as I could perceive in all directions, with the Earth at the center, was a host of forms. Countless numbers, it seemed. Some had shape, others appeared as no more than a wisp of cloud vapor. All glowed in various degrees of intensity. From those nearest us, I had the same percept of expectancy, of waiting for the show to begin. It must be some big show to attract all of these. They interrupt. It is what we call the gathering. These have manifested from other nearby energy systems only to witness the big show, as you call it, just as those within the physical spacecraft and your final process humans. This big show, which is about to occur, is actually a very rare event. The conflux of several different and intense energy fields arriving at the same point in your time-space. It is this rarity that has attracted so much attention. In terms that you can perceive, it may occur once every 87 million of your Earth years. Very long odds and a long time to wait. This does not warrant that it will be produced at that frequency. There are random elements and variables in the format which cannot be predicted. So random that the event might not take place, perhaps? There would be a lot of disappointed. It is long past such point, they say. It will occur. The interest lies in the result. It is best symbolized to you as a convergence of a great number of possibilities which emerge as several probabilities. One of such probabilities may alter not only your time-space, but all adjoining energy systems as well. Therefore, the wide interest. In human terms, still symbolized, the gathering is here to observe the possible birth of a new energy. Will it survive the birth process? And if so, what are the potentials inherent in such energy that will predict accurately the same maturity? Or will the energy arrive stillborn, and all the possibilities remain no more than that? Weak, uncoordinated possibilities. Okay, let's stop there. Because so much was said in that bit, I want to break down just a couple parts here, okay? Now, they say, this is what we call the gathering. These have manifested from other nearby energy systems, only to witness the big show, as you call it. So, they're saying that these forms, these craft, these UFOs, these ships, manifested from other nearby energy systems. And then they say, just as those within the physical spacecraft and your final process humans. Now, again, that goes back to the final process humans. That's that final ring. He was in the outermost ring, and that's where he was observing from, in the second click. And he was around all those glowing beings. Those are the final process humans. So it's almost like saying, like, if you go back to the previous chapter, and I'll do a whole book report on it, but he finds out that, like, in the future, after we've had so many physical experiences, we don't need to be physical anymore, and we're in our non-physical state in the dorm, and we come down and just have some experiences to produce loosh in the physical bodies, that we're waiting to basically click out and waiting to as a collective, the last remaining human consciousnesses are waiting to leave. So it's very interesting that they call them the final process humans. Because essentially they're saying that that is the final, those are the final, those humans there in the future that are in the dorm are the final humans. The final process humans. Such an interesting way to say it. Now, what is this big event? Now they go into it here. And they say, this big show, which is about to occur, is actually a very rare event. The conflux of several different and intense energy fields arriving at the same point in your time-space. So, basically, where Earth is, there's going to be this fusion of these different intense energy fields. It is a rarity that has attracted so much attention. So they're saying this is a very rare event. It's very rare to have all these different energy fields occurring and converging right here. So makes your brain run wild. Like, what are these energy fields? What are these different, like, where do they come from? Because they're making it seem like these aren't natural and native to us. These aren't energy fields that we currently have. So is it something we create? Do we create some sort of a new weapon or new energy system on Earth? Or did we create something that attracts, like a magnet, other energy fields that are already out there in the universe, and we attract multiple ones, and it's at this fusion, like we're mixing. It's like when you drop a Mentos into a, a Coke or whatever and explodes. Are we doing that? Are we attracting these different kinds of energy fields in such abundance and intensity that something new happens? Are we kind of like playing mad scientists here? I don't know. They don't tell you yet today. There is a human oriental symbol for crisis, which is composed of two sub-symbols indicating danger and opportunity. The event in human and physical Earth terms is definitely a point of crisis. It is quite valid that as to human existence, both danger and opportunity will be present in extreme degrees. Robert says, danger? Physical danger? Mental? They say, those are the possibilities, the exact nature of which will be determined by the event itself. Whatever your percept may be is one of the possibilities. One or several will occur. Robert says, the other side, the opportunity. They say, that is the key to understanding of the event. It will offer human consciousness a rare potential to emerge rapidly into a unified, intelligent energy system that will range far beyond your time-space illusion, creating, constructing, teaching as only a human-trained graduate energy is able to do. Our visit to Earth in 3000+, a possibility that may become probable with the event. Your action is one of the minute, random factors that may make it so. If the opportunity is missed, humans will retreat as a dominant species on Earth until they no longer survive as active consciousness, eventually in any form. Okay, stop there. Just for a second, because this is wild, okay? They basically say, the event will offer human consciousness a rare potential to emerge rapidly into a unified, intelligent energy system. So let's just stop there real quick. It will offer human consciousness the potential to emerge rapidly. Okay, whatever happens when we attract or create, whatever happens with these combining energy systems, their energy fields, I mean, they talk about these intense, focused energy fields that are combining for some reason, intersecting on Earth. Like Earth is like the bullseye, and there's these different intersecting energies that are focused on us. When this happens, it gives us potential to emerge rapidly into a unified, intelligent energy system. That seems like a collective consciousness. That seems like the 5D ascension that the Law of One talks about. That seems like this shift that so many people talk about, of this like shift into 5D consciousness or higher states of consciousness or some sort of a collective unified consciousness. And that's what they say right here. Potential to emerge rapidly into a unified, intelligent energy system that will range far beyond your time-space illusion. That will range far beyond, so they call it TSI, this world. I call it physical matter reality. They call it TSI, or the simulator. That's my other word for it. So they say that this new unified intelligent energy system, like this new unified super consciousness, will range far beyond your time-space illusion, meaning that we'll no longer be, you know, constrained and confined to this physical Earth sphere, that it would actually extend out, which is why you have all the interest from the adjoining systems. And then it says, creating, constructing, teaching as only a human-trained graduate energy is able to do. Creating is the first word. So this unified superconsciousness would be a being, a deity, an entity, you know, and that it would be a creator. Creator, constructing, teaching as only a human-trained graduate energy is able to do. Does this mean that as a collective human consciousness, we can level up and unify into a super consciousness, which becomes some sort of a celestial cosmic archetype, and that at that point, we become a creator, sort of like a creator in the same sense of the creator who created us? And that at that point, you not only can create and construct, because that's what creators do, but also teach. But as a human-trained graduate, as a human collective consciousness, that's what it seems like they're saying. That's what this convergence of energies would do, is it would give us this opportunity to come together and unite and unify into a super conscious and actually transcend the boundaries of space-time and all the limitations that we have here in the physical matter reality. That's what it seems like they're saying here, which is pretty freaking amazing, right? But then he says, what if the opportunity is missed? There's always a but. A possibility that may become probable with the event. Or, he says, what if the opportunity is missed? Humans will retreat as the dominant species on Earth until they no longer survive as active consciousness, eventually in any form. So, you can see the the predicament we're in. You can see why so many of these beings, these intelligences and consciousnesses from all over the universe and time are coming here, because you have this event, this situation coming up where if it goes one way, you're talking about a unification of the collective human consciousness, maybe even combining with Earth itself, Gaia's consciousness, into a super consciousness that transcends space and time and turns into a creator, the creative force in the universe. Or everyone dies. I mean, you know, you got to give it to them. You got to give it to God, to the universe. I mean, they have a dramatic flair, don't they? They go big. They go big. So, let's go on. Actually, we're almost to the end of this part. So, this keeps getting crazier, y'all. Hopefully you're still there. Hopefully you're with me. I asked it directly. And you, all of you, what will you do if that takes place? So this is Robert Monroe asking his in-spec friends, the intelligent species that are focused here on Earth, that are helping. They're like our guides. He says, and you, all of you, what will you do if that takes place? There was a beautiful warmth and a soft smile in the response, and they say, we would just have to start up some action on some other planet in time-space with new humans. I turned inward and closed. There was not much I could think or do. I was hit hard emotionally, and I didn't want to lose it. Not now. So, that is the end of that section. Let's recap, my friends. I love that part of the end where they're nonchalantly, they're like, he's like, what happens if all this goes away, if we all just, you know, gone? They're like, oh, we'll just start up some action on some other planet with some new humans, you know? I mean, it really does kind of reconfirm the whole, like, idea and concept that this is a, not an experiment in the sense of, like, you know, it is an experiment. If you think about it, it's an experiment in that there's backup humans that, you know, they don't have all their eggs in one basket, sort of the deal. But that there is they're very invested in this experiment. It seems like that things are going really good, that humans and human consciousness is evolving, and that we're kind of like hitting our benchmarks. There's so much interest from all these other, you know, systems, energy systems, different intelligences, consciousnesses, interdimensionals, aliens, extraterrestrials, time travelers, future humans, everybody. They're all here to watch the big show. What is the big show? Apparently in our future, and it seems like our near future, there's going to be some sort of thing that happens. It has to do with energy. You know, is it the sun? Does the sun do something that puts off some sort of a new energy that basically gives human consciousness the ability, the opportunity to unify into a super consciousness, maybe even merging with Earth? Is that what happens? I mean, where is this other energy coming from? You know, this convergence of energy fields. Well, Earth produces an energy field. Humans produce an energy field. The sun produces an energy field. And then we're constantly creating technologies. And I'll throw in AI and all this kind of stuff. And so they talk about the birth of a new energy. Not the birth of a new life form. Not the birth of a new consciousness. Not the birth of a new, you know, artificial intelligence or something like that. They said the birth of a new energy. The birth of a new energy. What does that mean? I don't know. I wish I did. So at some point, we are going to create, or it will be created, a new energy. And when this happens, we have like a bifurcation. We have a fork in the road. We can go two different paths. Like they said, there's the oriental symbol for crisis in it, and it has, or whatever the oriental, I forget what oriental symbol it was, where it had, oh yeah, it was crisis, where it had two sub-symbols, and it was danger and opportunity. And basically what they say is a crisis, you have, you know, two ways you can go in any crisis, danger or opportunity. So it's kind of up to you. So it's like the ultimate choose your own adventure. We have this fork in the road, this bifurcation of our timelines where something's going to happen, this energy is going to be produced, and then we can either unify into a super consciousness and transcend, like graduate, level up in a very dramatic, profound way, or retreat as the dominant consciousness on Earth until we basically retreat into no human consciousness at all. So you're talking about very extreme paths. And that's fascinating. So that is why the gathering is here. That is the big show. That is why we're a spectacle. We are the ultimate spectacle in this part of the universe. And people are coming back in time to watch, to see what will they do? What will humans do? Because this seems like it's all 100% dependent and determined by human free will, our free will choices. What choices are we going to make when this happens? Which path will we go down? Activated, augmented, are we going to go the high road or the low road? Are we going to transcend and graduate, or are we going to basically wipe ourselves out? That's why the spaceships are here. That's why the aliens are here. That's why the interdimensionals are here. That's why the time travelers are here. Now, right now, on planet Earth, seems to be an incredibly important time, not just in human and Earth history, but in cosmic history. This is a big deal. We are the star of the show. We are in the driver's seat. Which way are we going to go? I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Let me know what you think of this book report. You might have to watch this one again. I tried to keep it short so that you could watch it multiple times. Even though I only read like 4 or 5 pages, I know I stopped a lot, but I think it's required, because if you just read through it, you won't really understand it. It sounds good. You know, it's kind of interesting, but you're like, I don't really know what any of that meant. So hopefully this helped. Please leave a comment, like, share, subscribe so that you get alerted whenever I release new episodes. Please share this because it helps so much, and our channel is growing, and I'm having a lot of fun doing this, and I really sincerely appreciate all the support. You guys are awesome. Love you all. Have a beautiful day. See you in the next one. Peace.
Now receiving frequency transmission.
Are we, as individuals, part of the universe? Yes. But where do we end and the universe begins? Where does the universe end and we begin? Breaking our bodies down into particles and even smaller light waves. Is the universe conscious? Yes.
808. Pink alert.
We are the universe.
Transmission complete. Stay tuned to SpectroVision Radio. Stay.